Thank you for being here tonight. I'm glad to be in God's house, aren't you? Amen. Always good to be at the Lord's house. You know, my brother was praying over in the prayer room a while ago. We're blessed people, you know. Amen. We have the opportunity to come into a cool room, sit on a padded pew, and enjoy worshiping the Lord together. Amen. I mean, that's something we ought to be thankful for, folks. Yes. It really is. A lot of people don't have that privilege, but we're glad to be here tonight. Brother Mattis, appreciate that song. It's one of my favorite songs. When you brag on the Lord, you can expect the devil to fight you. I tell you that. That was a good song. I appreciate it. Appreciate the message in it tonight. Sure do. Pastor, I've been wrestling between two messages. You know how it is sometimes. But, you know, I thought about the title of the first one. I said, well, I better not try that one. And the title of the first one was, It's Time to Go Home, Back Home. So, well, I'm going to preach that tonight, okay? Maybe another night. Okay, Mark chapter number 6 tonight. Mark chapter number 6. The first song we sang kind of opened the door to give me assurance that maybe I'm going the right direction tonight. And I trust that what God has to say will be what you need tonight and what I need tonight. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for this time that you've given us to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that indwells us as your children. And Lord, we have the privilege together tonight to worship you. Father, we open your word. And we ask now the Spirit of God to be our teacher. May he lead us and guide us in all that we do. Lord, I just pray, God, that your children will be encouraged and strengthened tonight. Dear God, if there is one in our midst that's lost, I pray somehow the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, may draw that person to you before they leave here tonight. Father, honor yourself, Lord, in everything that's done tonight, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 6, we find many kinds of people that are literally examining the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus as he journeys here. We see his neighbors, his family, King Herod, and also his disciples. We find that none of these really appreciated who Jesus was. It's like us. When we are around certain people, and in situations so many times, we take for granted who we're around and what's been going on around us so many times. We take life sometimes that way. His disciples, even the disciples here, they were still unclear. They were pondering about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt some of them were unbelieving about him and what he did, even in their presence there. And we see this back in chapter 6, down about verse number 34, first of all. We see that there was a multitude that had gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. A multitude had gathered together. Jesus was teaching. And we find that when the crowd was there and he was teaching, and then the day, verse 35 says, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto Jesus and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. In other words, they've come, they've heard you, they've got from you what they want to hear. Now, Jesus, send them away. Send them away. This is a desert place. There's nothing here to eat for them. So why don't you just send them away? But notice what Jesus said in verse number 37. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Give you them to eat. Now remember, the disciples they were not sold on the fact that Jesus was able to provide what was needed at this time. They didn't really believe that, even though they'd seen many things that he did. But he said, Jesus said to them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat? How much bread, Jesus, is it going to take to feed this crowd? We've got 5,000 men plus the families that are there. Here is a humongous crowd of people. It's going to take a lot of food to feed these people. But notice he said in verse 38, and said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Okay? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They all ate and they were filled. Okay? 5,000 plus, probably 10 or 15,000 people. We don't know how many were there. But they all had plenty to eat. But notice the miracle here. Verse 43, and they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments and of the fishes. Now, I don't know how big these fish were, how big this bread was. Probably 5 loaves and 2 fishes probably would fill up what? 1 basket, do you reckon, at the most? But the Bible says there was 12 baskets left, fragments. Folks, this is a miracle. They did all eat of the loaves and were about 5,000 men. Now, here they are, the disciples. Here are the family, the friends of the Lord Jesus, and they see him do what he did as a miracle that took place in their own midst there. And how now are they going to react to what happened? How are they going to react? How do you and I react when we're given an impossible task? You see what the disciples did. They were literally given an impossible task, humanly speaking. There's no way they could have done what Jesus did, humanly speaking. But how did they respond? How did they respond? And we're going to see here, this is not my message, but my message starts in verse 35. But again, we want just to note here how the disciples and how the families and all these people appreciated what Jesus did. Now notice in verse number 45. After they've been fed, Jesus had fed everybody. Everybody was full. They took up the fragments left. We find in verse number 45 something takes place. If I have a thought for you tonight, it's this. An unfailing friendship in the time of a storm. An unfailing friendship in the time of a storm. You ever been in a storm? You ever been in a storm physically? You ever been in a storm mentally, emotionally, financially? All of us have. But I want us to focus tonight on a friend, even in the midst of the storm. A friend, even in the midst of the storm. Now, Jesus had already proven himself to be a friend, hadn't he? By feeding all these people and doing all he did. He was a friend to people. He loved people. He had compassion on people. But let's notice what happened here in verse number 45. And straightway, now that's after the miracle takes place. He's fed everybody. He's taken up the fragments. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. I want you to notice our Savior's desire, first of all. His desire, after he had fed the multitude, what did he desire more than anything else right now? First of all, we see he desired to be alone. He desired to be alone. We see he dismissed the assembly. In verse 45 and verse 46, he dismissed all the companies. He dismissed the crowds. And he desired to be alone. He desired to be alone. Someone said, a good man is never less alone than when alone with God. Than when alone with God. Folks, may I say this to you and to myself. I hope and pray there are times in your life that you get alone with God. Mothers, you need a time to be alone with God. You need a quiet time. When all the children are sleeping and dad's asleep and everybody else is quiet, mothers, get alone with God. Dads, get alone with God. Teenagers, young people, you need a time alone with God. Jesus is our example. Now, if Jesus needed this time to be alone, to pray, there was a purpose for it. There was a purpose for it. And you and I have a purpose, and we need to get alone and pray. We need to be alone with God. You know, it's so good to me sometimes just to go home and get in my study and just sit there and just be quiet. Just be quiet. I mean, no television, no internet, nothing. Just be quiet. And sometimes my wife is gone, and it's even quieter. But you know, I love it when I'm alone and it's quiet. I love that time. And she can say the same thing about me when I'm gone. She loves her quiet time. Jesus himself, it was his desire now, after he's done all this for these people, to be alone. To be alone here. He wanted to pray. He wanted to ask a request here. So we find that after he sent the multitude away, after he sent all the companies away, then Jesus himself, he departs unto a mountain. Now remember, where are his disciples at? His disciples are on a boat, okay? And they're going towards Bethsaida. He's told them to go over there. And Jesus is now in the mountain, and he's praying. And we find out what takes place. Something alarming takes place. Look at verse number 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. The disciples are alone on the sea in the boat. Jesus was alone on the mountain. Now notice in verse number 48. And he saw them. He saw them. Don't forget that. Jesus saw them. Even though he was on the mountain, they were on the sea. He saw them. And notice what happened. Toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Notice that. For the wind was contrary unto them. In other words, the wind was blowing. The waves were rocking the boat. The water was coming in the boat. They were having all kinds of problems at this time. And remember this. Who asked them to get on that boat? Jesus. He asked them to get on that boat. So he's having a purpose now for this to take place in their life. And we'll see that a little later on here. But we find here that there's a great alarm here taking place here in verse 48. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night. Now, that's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how long Jesus was on the mountain praying. I don't know how long these people were on this boat sailing. But I do know a period of time had passed before this took place. Before he saw them, and in about the fourth hour watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. Folks, no matter where you are on the sea of life, you may be in a storm of life. You remember this. Jesus may be in heaven, but he sees you. He sees you. He knows what you're facing. He knows the winds that are blowing. He knows the water that's coming into your life. He knows every storm that you're facing in your life. He knows all about it. I'm glad today to know that my Savior knows all about me. He knows all about you and the things that we're facing in our life. Now, we see the Savior saw a serious situation here. Here his disciples were on the ship. They were in trouble. They were in big trouble. But notice here, he says the winds was contrary unto them. Even though the disciples were in distress at sea, I want you to notice a few things. This was a test of hardship that they were to expect in their life as a Christian. He's trying to make them strong for the things they're going to face in their life when he allows this to happen to them. We also see that they must work hard to strive against the storm. Storms in life are not easy, folks. But when storms come, we don't throw up our hands and quit. We do all we can to go through the storm, and God enables us to do that because He goes with us. He goes with us in the storms that we go in our life. We also see they must expect to be tossed with the waves. You and I are going to be tossed this way and that way in this life. They must expect that in their lives. And He's trying to let them know this by putting them in this storm. Putting them in this storm. They must expect to be persecuted by their enemies. They're going to be made fun of when they get to the other side. We also say they must learn to endure hardness in their life. And you and I, as soldiers of the Lord, we must learn to endure hardness in our life because we're going to face some things in life that we cannot accomplish ourselves. But thank God with His help we can. Thank God with His help we can. Someone said that truths that are learned in a storm are usually remembered for a lifetime. Truths that are learned in a storm are remembered for a lifetime. Whenever we go through something hard in our life, very hard, we don't forget it. We don't forget it. Because we remember what God has brought us through in our lives and how God brought us through it. Therefore, we must realize this. When a saint of God is sent through a storm in their life, it's never to hurt us. It's always to help us. Always to help us. God doesn't allow storms to come in our lives to hurt us. He allows them to come into our life to help us. To help us in our lives. Storms may often rise against us, even when we're in the direct obedience to God's will. Direct obedience to God's will. Storms will still come in our life, folks. Just because you're a Christian, just because you're doing something for God, does not mean that you or I, either one, will not go through storms. We all go through storms in life. We're faced with storms in our life. And we see this to be true. Never forget this. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in yesterday, they went through storms, didn't they? Likewise, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ today, we are going to go through storms also. We're going to go through storms also. Notice I said, we're going to go through storms. Okay? We're going to go through storms. And because of God's help, we that are saved will at some time, we are had to sit in the midst of a storm. We will have to. We will have to sit. Now, I want us to notice some truths. As Christians tonight, some truths that we should learn when we go through storms. When we go through storms. First of all, we see in verse 45, and straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. First of all, to classify a storm, we notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ bid it or commanded his disciples, his personal disciples, to get into this boat and to sail on that sea. He did this. He didn't ask the crowd to get into the boat. He asked his disciples to get into this ship, this boat, and sail to the other side. We see he got the best of the best, okay? He got the cream of the crop, if you please. He got that number one team, his disciples, and asked them to get into the boat and sail across the sea. We see he got the ones with the short hair. He got the ones with the three-button suits. He got the ones with the tracks. He got the ones that maybe just left prayer meeting and stepped out into the boat. He got those that were dear to him and near to him. We find these are not the heathens. They're not the pagans. They're not the prodigals. They're not the wayward Christians that he's got, but he's got his disciples. And ask them to get into a boat and sail across the sea. Often our storms in our life are acts as a thorn hedge, people. Our storms in our life act as thorn hedges to keep us in the good pasture. to keep us in the good pasture. Sometimes prosperity is a gap where we go astray. We go astray with prosperity. But we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ did not tell the corner crowd to get into the boat, but he told his children, his disciples, to get into the boat and sail to Bethsaida. So we need to classify the storm. Why am I in this storm? Who's the author of this storm? What is it going to do for me? How is it going to affect me? Is it going to change me? Is it going to make me bitter or is it going to make me better? There's a choice we have to make. See, we need to classify the storm. Jesus himself bidded these disciples to get in this boat. They're on the sea. They're in a storm because they are in obedience to Jesus Christ. They're in obedience to him. And we find this. Now, number two is to observe the storm. Observe the storm. Observation. That is, watch out for something or someone. Observe this storm here, we see. We see that it was the fourth watch when Jesus came. But Jesus up on the mountain, knowing all things, the God-man he was, he knew when the winds began to blow. He knew when the waves began to roll. He knew all that was going on. He knew all that was going on in the lives of these disciples, no matter where they were out here on the sea. And we find when the waves began to fill the boat, the Lord Jesus Christ knew it from the top of the mountain where he was. He knew it. He knew exactly what was taking place in their lives. The Savior always sees his servants and saints. No matter what storm you're in, he sees you. He knows how serious it is. Every storm to us is a serious storm. And Jesus Christ knows that. I want you to notice, Jesus was on the mountain, they were on the sea, and Jesus knew what was going on. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. For example, we first place I find Jesus looking was on the Christian giving in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 2. We find here there was a certain widow that cast in two mites. And Jesus was looking upon it. He was looking upon that Christian giving. We see another place that the eyes of the Lord were. The eyes of the Lord are fixed upon Christians that are grieving. Grieving. We know the story in John chapter 11. Jesus groaned in his spirit when he saw Mary Martha groaning and crying because of their friend dying, Lazarus. The eyes of the Lord are upon Christians grieving. The eyes of the Lord are upon Christians giving. And also the eyes of the Lord are upon Christians that go astray. The Christians that go astray. God, he's looking at us. He's looking here. We find this to be true. Turn back to Luke chapter 2. Over, I should say. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. The eyes of the Lord are upon those that go astray. Luke 22, look at verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54, says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." We find here Christians turn away from God. They turn away from God. We don't know why. The Lord turned and looked at Peter in verse number 54. Notice, then they took him and led him out and brought him into the high priest's house. And notice, Peter followed, but notice, afar off. Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And we notice that he denied him, saying, "Woman, I knew him not." This is Peter. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidentially affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew. And notice, and the Lord turned and what? Looked upon Peter. The Lord looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And notice, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The eyes of the Lord are upon those that are wavered, those that are wavered tonight. We need to be careful about this. Those that get away from God, God's eyes are upon them. God loves them. God loves His children. He loves all of us. We need to be praying for those that have gotten away from God. You know, we have the opportunity, folks, to reach a lot of people. And we should. Our first goal should be to reach the lost, no matter what it costs. But let's don't forget the wayward. Let's don't forget those that have turned back on God. Let's don't forget them. God loves them just like He does a lost sinner. And we should love them. He grieves over them. He's concerned about them. And may the Lord help us to see this tonight. Observe the storm, the fourth watch. And Jesus is watching over His disciples. He knows where they're at. He knows what's taking place in their life. His eyes are there. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. I believe it was a heartbroken look, a look of compassion when Jesus looked at Peter. His heart was broken because of what Peter did. This should be the look of Christians for backsliders also. We should have compassion on them. Let them know that we love them, we miss them when they're not in God's house. We should have a brokenness and a burden for people that are away from God, away from God. Except for the grace of God, it could be me. It could be you. It could be anybody. May the Lord help us to observe this and see here as we look at this thing. But notice what happened. Jesus come on the scene. We see another truth here in verse number 48. Again, verse number 48. We see what took place here in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. How the Lord Jesus, He knew what was going on with His disciples. In verse 48 again, we said, He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and notice, and would have passed by them. He would have passed by them. Here comes Jesus to visit the disciples in the storm. Isn't it sweet? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it good to know? Sometimes in the storms of life that we're going through, when we have a visit from God, we know that Jesus is with us. A miracle takes place. Something happens. And the thing is turned around. And we know it's all because God did it. It's nothing that we did. It's all because of Him. Here the disciples were. They were worried. They were troubled. No doubt they were frightful of what's going to take place. And we find here that Jesus Christ come on the scene. He shows up in the very midst of the storm. In the middle of the storm. He come in here. He came at the fourth watch. He came walking on the water. He came walking on the water. We find there's no difficulties that can prevent the Lord Jesus getting where you are. The storm could not prevent Jesus Christ from getting to that boat where those disciples were at. And there's nothing, no storm you have in your life that can keep Him from helping you and being with you. Nothing. Because He's the master of the sea. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He could have passed by them. He could have passed by them. But notice, we find here, they thought maybe He would. But we may be sure that he would not. We may be sure that he would not at this time. We're often frightened, sometimes by our imaginations. They thought he was a ghost. They didn't know who it was. Here he comes by walking on the sea in the midst of a storm. Anybody would be frightened. We find out, though, they use their imaginations here. But we find here the Lord's comforting presence. When the Lord came in their sight, they had comfort. He brought comfort to them. He brought comfort to them at this time. He encouraged them. He silenced their fears by making himself known. By making himself known at this time. We know not Christ until he is pleased to reveal himself to us. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus reveals himself to us sometimes, especially when we're in a storm, when we're going through hard times in our life. He manifests himself to us vividly, that we know without any doubt that it's him. We don't wonder, but we know. We know it's the Lord. The Lord was comforting to them in their presence now at this time. We see the knowledge of Christ as he is in himself and near unto us brings cheer to our lives. It brought cheer to them. Now they were not frightful. The Lord's compelling power, we see that. He went to them and to the ship. And immediately the wind and the waves became still. They saw his power. They saw his power revealed. Jesus loves to be invited into a troubled ship. Did you know that? He loves to be invited to a troubled ship. To your life and to my life, he loves that. As Jesus is passing by, he wants us to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. These disciples needed the Lord. And when he cried out to them, we find they admonished that. Notice he said in verse number 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They were astonished at what had taken place now. Here they were for hours in this boat, rocking, turning, waves, water coming in. I don't know how long it was, but all of a sudden now Jesus comes on the scene. He steps in the boat, and the boat is calm, the waves are calm, no water splashing. And they were astonished and they were amazed. Why? Why were they so amazed at what took place? It hadn't been too long they saw Jesus perform a miracle and feed 5,000 or maybe 10 or 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now here they are in a storm and Jesus comes on board the ship with them and everything is okay. Why are they so amazed? Why are they so astonished at what takes place here? When the Master is with them, all is well. When the Master is with you, all is well. Jesus is sure to do his own work effectively. Effectively. Notice he said here, be of good cheer, it is I. And notice he said in verse number 48, and would have passed by them. He would have passed by them. He saw their need. He heard their cry. Listen, when God hears your cry and God hears my cry, God is not going to run. God's going to come to us. He's going to come to us. And that's what he did to these disciples. He came to them. Jesus is sure to do his own work effectively, and he did it for these disciples. Here they are now, they're sailing fine. The ship is made. What I'm saying tonight is this. A friend, a sure friend in the midst of storms is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what storm you're going through in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I know what I'm going through. I know what I'm facing. But I want to remind myself and I want to remind you, if you're a child of God tonight, Jesus is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll go with you through the storm that you're facing right now. You're not alone. You're not alone. You can make it. You can handle it. You can get through it with God's help. With God's help. I think of the song that Sister Lee, Melanie Lee, sang a few weeks ago, Stand By Me. That's so true. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. Stand by me. It doesn't matter what you're facing, folks. Listen, Jesus is with you. He's with you. He'll never leave you. I'm glad tonight to know, in the midst of the storms of life that we have to face, we have one that is always with us. He's always with us. He won't leave us. He won't leave us. You know, in closing, may I say this? We're all facing some times that we don't know what's going to happen in this world. But you know, we have a choice. We can worry about it, or we can give it to God. We have a choice. But it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard for all of us. The things that we face in life. You used to go to the grocery store, you could spend $50 and have a trunk full of groceries. Now it's one bag. You know, the price of gas is ridiculous. Electricity, everything is ridiculous nowadays. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, folks? Only thing we can do is trust the Lord. I believe God is, I don't have to say this, but I think God is making His people down here so miserable that they yearn and they are literally begging for Him to come more than ever before. Because that's the only thing that's going to salvage us. The rulers of this country, the leaders in this country, they don't know how to solve the problem because they're not looking to the right source. God is the answer. Christian, we have the answer. When the storms of life are raging, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the only one that can help me. He's the only one that can help you in this life. But I'm thankful, folks, that we have help. Amen. We're not helpless. We have help. And that's Jesus. Father, thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you for helping us in the storms that we face in our life day by day. Lord, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. Somebody may go to work tomorrow, and the boss may say, we don't need you no more. Lord, we don't know. But Lord, we just have to trust you. And God, that takes faith. Lord, it's easy to say, trust God when you got a good job, when you're making good money, all your bills are paid, you have no needs. But Lord, when you live from day to day, from week to week, it's a different story. But God, help us as your people, Lord, to realize that you're with us, you're going to help us. Lord, there's nothing in this world, Lord, that we have to face alone. We're grateful that you face it with us. So, Father, help us as we go through the storms now. Lord, help us to realize the storm we're going through is designed by you. And God, you're going to help us. Just like you helped these disciples. Lord, we'll call upon you. And God, we know that you're going to provide. You're going to make a way Lord, for us in this life until you come and take us where you are. And God, we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.